probably what I'd like to do now is talk a little bit about the spiritual side of life, because I'll guarantee you my oil field life was not spiritual. You're probably not familiar with the oil field in general, most of you, if any of you, but it's not the best of language, and it's not the most moral environment out there. Even though it's a pretty rough atmosphere to be in, there's some good people out there. They're just pretty, they cuss and drink and smoke and all the things that people shouldn't do, probably. But anyhow, I think it was a good experience for me to work with them and everything. I learned a lot from them, but it didn't help me spiritually. But I joined the church when I was 33 years old, which is now 47 years ago. But I joined in Farmington, New Mexico, and I've already mentioned that in Rock Springs, Wyoming, after Esther started going to the church with me, started going to the church, I should say, and I went with her, I kept getting missionaries dropping by talking to me, and of course, I usually listened to them, but then I'd never make a commitment, and that went all the way up. I went from there to Billings, Montana, where they descended on me, and even the mission president came out to see me because they thought I was a good prospect. Anyhow, I guess I wasn't that good after all, and because I didn't join. Then I got transferred to Cutbank, Montana, and a little branch up there, and Esther was just really enjoyed it. I forget what she served at, but she liked all the people, and I liked them too. I went to church when I could up there, but I wouldn't join. And finally, I went down to, I was transferred down to Farmington, New Mexico as a senior sales engineer, and that has its good side and its bad side. I would have hated it, frankly, as a sales engineer. I just didn't like that particularly, but I was good enough technically. I understood the tools and the logs well enough that I could talk to a customer about them pretty well. And so I took the job. It was a good promotion. And I spent 4 years down there and joined the church down there in 1962. So that was some about 7 years after I started to work with Schlumberger. Then in 65, I got the job as a manager in Rock Springs, and was transferred up there, and I was active, but frankly, even when I was in Rock Springs, I had to be in the field a lot, and I knew I wasn't. I wasn't supposed to drink coffee, and I didn't have any trouble. I did smoking. I never did smoke really, so I didn't like it anyhow. And I didn't drink hard liquor, and I'd have occasional beer kind of from time to time. But after I joined the church, I never had another beer. I cut that off pretty easy. But coffee was another thing. When I'd go out and work all night on the well, I wanted a cup of coffee. And I must have quit drinking coffee 10 times, I don't know. I'd quit it, and about 6 months later I'd start, and then I'd quit it again, and about 6 months later I'd start again. That went on and on. But I finally did conquer it, or maybe the Lord helped me conquer it, I don't know. But anyhow, from Rock Springs, because of my technical abilities, that's when I got my job as division technical manager. I got that in 1969. And first I went to Denver. We lived in Denver, almost 2 years. Then they sent me up to Casper, Wyoming, where I finished up my time as division technical manager in about the beginning of 1975. Anyhow, while I was there, I visited all over the Rocky Mountains, so I was on the road a lot. I'd go to Williston, North Dakota, and down in Farmington, New Mexico, or I was over in Vernal, Utah quite a bit, and the story I just told you, of course, took place while I was the division engineer. I mentioned that, I guess. And this one particular time, late 1974, or in the fall of 74, I was over in Vernal on some kind of a technical problem, I can't remember, and I was a counselor, I think first counselor in the Elders Quorum Presidency, and I'd never been in the bishopric at all, but a long-term bishop we'd had there, the one that a man by the name of Perkins had been bishop when I first got to Casper, and he was really a fine man. I respected him a lot. He was released, I don't know, after some 6 or 7 years of bishop, and they called another man who was well-qualified, and he got transferred, and I think yet a third one. I mean, a second one after the original bishop, and he got transferred. Well, and he was getting transferred. I knew he wouldn't be there very long, and like most people do when they know the bishop's leaving, well, they're wondering who's going to be called as a new bishop. Well, I thought about that a little bit, but not a whole lot. I knew it wouldn't be me because I was simply a counselor in the Elders Quorum, and they don't call bishops from things like that, I thought, anyhow. And so I wasn't really worried about it, and I was over there in Vernal, and I was coming back home, and I went north out of Vernal to Rock Springs, and you go over the Uinta Mountains there, and as I was just topped the mountains about, I got this funny impression that you're going to be called as bishop, and I said, what in the world? Why am I thinking something like as stupid as that? I said, that's crazy. I mean, I'm not even the Elders Quorum president, let alone not having been a bishop or anything like that. I said, you know, that's what that is that's my ego talking. I know that. I want a little recognition or something, and of course, I don't know, it's just a stupid thought. And so I kept driving, and that thought kept persisting. I don't know, I every time it had come up in my mind, I'd kind of laugh at myself, and you know, for the next hour and a half, it kept cropping up, and I keep putting it out of my mind. And about that time, I was getting close to Casper, and it was on a Friday night, I believe, and I get there and walk in the door, and Esther said, Tom, the stake president wants you to call him. And I said, I said, you know what, he's going to call me as bishop. And she goes, what are you talking about? And I said, well, I've been getting this impression all the way from Vernal, Utah, and I think it's stupid too, but that's what he's going to do. And so I went over there. He wanted me to come over and see him, and I met him there that evening. I can't remember what time, and he just started talking to me about general, and then things in general, and he said, I'm thinking about calling you as a new bishop, and I said, well, I knew you were. You know, I told him my experience, and he said, well, that cinches it. He said, the Lord was preparing you. And I said, but I'm not qualified. I said, I've never been in the bishopric before. And he said, well, I'll help you. He said, I'll be in touch with you. We'll train you. You'll do all right. And he tried to do his best to calm my fears, but, you know, I really wasn't a people person. I mean, not that I didn't like people, but I didn't want to be the center of attention up in front of the church and stuff like that. And he called me his bishop. And at that time, you had to be set apart by an assistant of the 12, so I had to go in to Salt Lake to be set apart. And I was set apart by, I can't remember his name now. I got it in my journal, but he was assistant of the 12. And they set me apart as bishop in the fall of 1974 then. Well, it wasn't much over about 3 months later that I got my promotion to... my son helped me out there. Henry D. Taylor, he is absolutely right. I don't know where he came up with that, but he's got a better memory than me. Anyhow, that's the gentleman that set me apart. And I worked at that, and of course I was a busy man in my job and the bishop, and I really wasn't much of a bishop, I don't think, because if I had any skill, it was managing expenses, and the ward did have some financial problems there, and I've been told, at least, that I solved those for them. I got things set up to where we got the expenses and incomes under control, so that all worked out pretty well, but about, I don't know, 3 months later or so, I was offered this promotion, and that's probably one of the most difficult decisions I've ever made, but I a man was up from Houston when my division manager came in to present it to me, and I asked him, it was on a Friday, and I asked him if I could give him my answer on Monday. And I spent the whole weekend frankly, on my knees, because I wanted the job, I guess, but I felt a strong responsibility as bishop, and I knew I had a lot to learn, and I was just beginning to learn, and the Lord never answered my prayer, I don't think. Anyhow, at least I didn't hear it, and I finally decided that he was telling me, Brother Openshane, you're old enough to make your own decision, and you can serve in the church no matter where you're at. At any rate, I accepted the promotion in the following Monday, and I called my stake president, and hoping he'd give me some kind of a counsel. But he told me basically the same thing. He said, Brother Openshane, you can serve anywhere you are. You make the decision. I'm not going to make it for you. And, of course, that's the way it should be, but I guess I wanted somebody else to tell me what to do, but they wouldn't do it. So, finally, I made up my own mind, and away I went to Louisiana to spend, I went down there early 75, and I stayed till 1980, so I guess it's about 6 years down there, and I really didn't do very good at that job. I did pretty good. I was well off technically, but I guess I didn't have the personality or the managerial strength to handle the managing part of it, because I eventually got demoted out of that job, and it was a difficult thing for me, but I think it humbled me a little bit and set me on the right road as far as the spiritual side of life is concerned, which I might get into a little bit more later. Anyhow, that was my experience as a bishop.